Good afternoon, this is KTOO and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Heavy snow is forecast to hit Juneau and other parts of Alaska's panhandle this weekend, following days of record-breaking frigid temperatures. According to the National Weather Service, Juneau is forecast to see more than a foot of snowfall in 24 hours, beginning late Friday evening through Saturday evening. That storm is an atmospheric river and will bring warmer temperatures, which could reach into the high 20s. Andrew Park, a meteorologist at the National Weather Service in Juneau, says residents should pay attention to the weather and prepare for hazardous conditions.
Definitely be prepared. You're not going to be, I don't think you're going to be traveling on the roads if we get 20 inches of snow in 24 hours. So make sure you have food, fuel, take care of the things you need to do for stuff like that, like now.
The forecasted heavy snow comes after the capital city broke multiple record low daily temperatures earlier this week. Just yesterday, Juneau saw a new daily record low at the Juneau International Airport of negative 10 degrees Fahrenheit. It broke the previous record of negative 3 degrees set back in 1971 for that date, and marked the fifth day this month that the airport recorded lows reaching below zero. City officials are advising residents to ensure heating sources in their homes are monitored and maintained. Earlier this week, Juneau saw two destructive residential fires in a mobile home park in the course of just 3 days. While the causes of both fires are still under investigation, officials warn that residential fires are more common with the onset of cold weather because of heating system failures. Juneau Harbormaster Matt Cresswell says the forecasted snowfall and rise in temperature could cause problems for boats at the Juneau harbors.
If you got a boat, it's time to get down and check on it, take care of it, and get ready for what will be our third round of snow in this so far this month.
Juneau's emergency warming shelter in Thane remains open to patrons each night. This is KTOO. Good afternoon, this is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. When it snows, crews fan out with plows, graders, blowers, and more to clear the streets in Juneau. KTOO's Morning Edition host Mike Lane recently sat down with the city's Streets and Fleet Superintendent Scott Gray to learn more about local snow removal operations.
The city and the state both share responsibility in keeping Juneau's roads safe and plowed during the snowy months. Can you explain how that works and who is responsible for what?
I'll start with CBJ. So CBJ basically takes care of pretty much all the residential areas, downtown area, anything that's not on the main arterial, like Egan Drive, Back Loop, Loop Road, Fritz Cove, and Douglas Highway. That's all DOT. There's a number of other smaller streets. They go all the way out the road. They do Engineers Cutoff. They do Nine Mile Creek Road out Douglas. So DOT has quite a few roads locally here in Juneau that are kind of residential too. But we take care of a lot of the residential areas where more populated areas.
So what does a typical snow removal day look like for your department?
We have a town crew, the town area crew come in at 1 o'clock in the morning. And they get off at 9 o'clock in the morning. And then we have another crew that comes in at 8 in the morning, and they get off at 4. So we stagger them. We have two guys that work 4-10s. So they'll work Sunday through Wednesday, Wednesday through Saturday. And they work from 5 o'clock in the morning until 3 in the afternoon.
What equipment do you use and or need for the job? And how has technology changed when it comes to snow removal in Juneau?
Well, so we use graders a lot. We also have loaders with bowl blades, and they come from, you know, like 12-foot bowl blade to 14 feet, and they're heavily chained up, and they can go anywhere. They're pretty amazing pieces of equipment out there. And we have 10-yard trucks with plows and belly blades. And we have blowers, so when everything's all calmed down, hopefully, we can go through the neighborhoods. We can blow the big berms out of the way. We have a contract with multiple trucking companies here in town for hauling snow, because a lot of our trucks are already outfitted with sanders. And unless we have a big lull in between storms, we don't pull those sanders out.
What do you recommend as the best strategy for residents to deal with the berms?
You really need to think about snow placement. So when you shovel your driveway, the best way to do it is to put that snow up into your yard or somewhere where the plow can't get a hold of it again.
What about sidewalks? Whose responsibility is it to keep those cleared?
Well, actually, it is the property owner's responsibility to clear the sidewalks, and we understand that isn't doable in a lot of areas. There are some people out there, though, that are really good about, you know, cleaning up their sidewalks, and I have to give them kudos for that. It's a lot of work.
How do you plan for back-to-back storms?
That's a tough one, man. we try to keep our equipment up and running. We have a whole fleet department, you know, that takes care of us and other departments. The fleet department, they take care of 260 pieces of equipment and vehicles. So we try to go through all the equipment in between storms so we're ready. So when it does hit, we're good to go.
Where do you put all the snow that you remove from neighborhoods, et cetera?
So we have multiple areas that we pull or we haul the snow to. In the valley, we also have an area in Lemon Creek where we haul snow to. And then we also have an area out at Thane.
What should people do when they encounter a plow or a grader on the roads?
You know, give them room. Give them space. A grader only does 22 miles an hour, but that piece of equipment, it takes a lot to get it stopped on a slippery road. So give them space. Their visibility behind them is none.
Now, Scott, you're the superintendent for CBJ Streets and Fleet, and you have quite a few people on your teams in staggered shifts. Do you have a full boat of employees, or are you still looking for somebody?
We currently have two positions that are open. We have an operator one position, and it's a flex position.
Okay.
And then we also have a seasonal position.
So I would assume that if somebody wanted to apply for either of those positions, they would go to juno.org and do that through the website.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Is there anything you'd like to add to this?
Well, I got to say, my team is out there doing a great job, and they're clearing the roads, and I appreciate them, and I couldn't do my job without them.
And as 2025 comes to a close, the reporters at KTOO are taking a moment to reflect on the year in stories. In this special feature, we're highlighting some of our colleagues' favorite pieces throughout the year and sharing what made these stories stand out. I'm City Government reporter Clarice Larson, and one of my favorite KTOO stories from 2025 was Battling Invasive Plants in Downtown Juneau, A Walk with an Optimist. Climate and Environment reporter Alex Solomon produced it over the summer. The story is about a researcher's hope to raise more awareness about the wide range of invasive species that have taken root in the region. It stood out to me because it was different from our usual coverage on the topic, and it was an interactive way to learn more about the pesky invasive plants and species that surround us. Take a listen.
One doesn't have to go far to find invasive plants.
First, I wanted to show you this really interesting tree we have right in front of us.
It's an invasive European mountain ash, and it's just a few steps outside KTOO's front door. The tree is blooming right now with small white flowers that will give rise to bright orange and red berries in the fall. Emily Reed is the regional invasive plant coordinator at the Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition. She says that birds choose to eat these berries over native berries.
And because the birds fly long distances and the seeds can germinate after being pooped out, we're finding these in really kind of more natural areas.
She says there are thousands of European mountain ashes around Southeast. They're still planted ornamentally here and are hard to get rid of because they can resprout from a stump. Reed says the best way to kill the tree is to apply a bit of herbicide to the stump after chopping it down. She walks down Egan Drive to the back of the Four Points Hotel parking lot, where the hillside is covered in one of the most invasive plants in the world, Japanese knotweed. The plant mainly reproduces by spreading underground rhizomes, which are modified stems that are known to crack roads and building foundations.
They go pretty deep, and a new plant can regenerate from a piece of rhizome as small as your fingernail.
Reed says that makes ripping the plant out of the ground futile, and controlling it extremely difficult. She and her colleagues return to the same patches year after year to apply herbicide to the plants. A non-native species becomes invasive when it throws off the balance of an ecosystem and starts taking over. Alaska's geographic isolation and low population make Reed optimistic that invasions can be kept at bay, since the state isn't completely overrun by noxious weeds yet, unlike most of the U.S. She continues up Main Street and takes a left on 4th, where Creeping Buttercup blooms along the sidewalk, with yellow flowers reaching toward the sun. This invasive plant has spread through most of Southeast Alaska, and it does well wherever there is bare ground.
We're in this kind of final stage of invasion, where it's more like, we're not going to get rid of it.
So instead of trying to get rid of it, Reed says she's focused on keeping it from creeping into new habitats. She's worried about uplift meadows, which are tidal flats and marshes that are now rising above the seawater since the land is shedding the weight of melting glaciers. They offer a lot of bare ground for Buttercup to take over. Reed disappears into the brush behind an old, broken-down truck on Village Street and emerges with a long stalk that has small white flowers on top.
Yeah, they can be quite satisfying to pull. You just have to be really on top of it.
This is garlic mustard, and it's on the opposite end of the invasion spectrum. So far, Reed says Juneau is the only place in Alaska where garlic mustard has been found, though it has invaded much of the lower 48 already.
It's also what we call allelopathic, which means that it puts out chemicals into the soil that prevents other plants from growing.
That gives it a competitive advantage over native plants. But Reed says she has hope about managing invasive plants in Alaska because many of them are in the early stages.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And we're in a place where we can be thinking about prevention and rapid response, which is very different than anywhere else I've lived or studied invasive species.
And the more people know what to look out for, the better those efforts can be. Reed recommends learning to identify the invaders near you, washing your shoes and brushing your dog when you leave an area, and taking pictures and GPS locations to report invasives when you get home. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And that was a look back at a story KTOO reporter Alex Solomon did in 2025, as highlighted by me. This is KTOO. Have a happy holidays.